This is Doug Hastings, Vice President of Moody Radio, and we're thankful for support from our listeners and businesses like United Faith Mortgage.
Heading into spring, I've been spending a lot of time pondering, analyzing, and debating something extremely important to men, and even many women, and that's whether a new driver would improve my golf game. I would say I'm somewhere between embarrassing and appalling at golf, but man, do I love it. And all my buddies show up with these epic flash, big maverick Bertha drivers, and I can't help but feel like they've got this massive advantage on me and my persimmons. It's Ryan, and at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're proud to have a pretty special advantage ourselves, and one that can be a big deal for you. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company uses its own money and makes its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. And this advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, saving monthly and lifelong money on a refinance or new home purchase. We're much better at mortgages than I am at golf. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe tells us who the real owner of everything is.
He may use a lot of different methods to bring about wealth into your life or increase your wealth. And we need to acknowledge that and understand that it changes the way we go about thinking about money and resources when we acknowledge who is the source.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and the Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, one of the names we use to describe God is Jehovah Jireh. It means God provides. And Mark, that's part of his nature, part of his plan, but it can be frustrating when we don't see God's provision in our life.
Wayne, I love that name, Jehovah Jireh, the God
provides.
That provides.
Yeah.
And in so many ways, I've seen that true in my life, in my family. And you may be listening to this message and say, Pastor Mark, I don't feel it right now that God is providing. And I want to challenge and encourage you, first of all, to look and see, because sometimes God is providing in ways that we don't understand and we have to look for it. But I think these three laws that I'm going to be talking about over the next couple of days will be very helpful in positioning yourself to receive what God is providing.
Well, the first law is the law of source, and that's the title of today's message from Mark Jobe. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 8, so turn with us if you can, and let's get started.
Many of you, when you were young, maybe not so young, one of your dreams in growing up was you didn't know exactly what you wanted to do, but you were going to be rich and wealthy. And I listen to kids talk back and forth once in a while, and they'll say, well, my house is going to be like that. Well, your house is going to be a garage compared to my house. And, you know, I'm going to have a jet, three jets, one pink, yellow, and blue for whatever day I want. You know, they go on about that. But if I were to do a survey today, and I were to survey this congregation, and I were to have you check what category you consider yourself to be in economically, I would venture to say that the great majority of us would not check the box that says rich or wealthy. Maybe you'd say, nah, middle class, lower middle class, struggling, barely surviving. Well, but you may, probably very few to almost no one here would actually check the box that says wealthy or rich. Yet, I beg to disagree with that. You see, I believe that the great majority of us here are actually in the category of rich and wealthy. In fact, let me explain that to you. My young children, once in a while, when Josiah was young, and Grant, my 10-year-old, I remember a few years ago, he said, Dad, are we rich or poor? And I say to him, son, we're rich. And we're rich in a lot of ways. We're rich because we have family. We're rich because we have clothes on our back. We're rich because we have a roof over our head. We're rich because, mainly because we love Jesus. And he says, no, 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 I know that, Dad, but are we rich? Like, money-wise, are we rich? And the truth of it is that those of us in the broad perspective, if you read in the Bible, many of us read the scriptures where Jesus talks to the rich and it says, and to the rich I say, and most of you think of people that you know, oh, my boss, he needs to read this. Hey, this would be a good passage for Oprah. Yeah, Donald Trump, man, he needs it. Bill Gates, wow, this is for him. But just slow down a minute. Because there are 6 billion people in the world. The gospel and the word of God is for everybody, right? Amen. Now, here's the thing about being rich. The thing about being rich is that rich is hard to define. Because rich is not a quantity. Rich is a moving target. When you were 7 years old, if you got a $200 gift from a great aunt on your birthday, you would take that and say, I'm rich, because for you, $200 made you rich when you were 6 years old. But Gallup poll basically tells us that they surveyed a whole bunch of people that were making $30,000 a year. And they ask a whole bunch of people making $30,000 a year, how much would you have to make so that you felt like you were rich or wealthy or on your way to riches? And most of the people making $30,000 said that they would feel rich if they were making $75,000 a year or more. In other words, if they were making double of what they're making now, they thought, man, I would be doing well. My bills paid, I would feel comfortable. I would feel like, hey, I am rich if I were making $75,000 a year. Now, they surveyed people that were making $50,000 a year, and they asked those making $50,000, hey, what would make you feel like you are rich and wealthy and really doing well in your life? And most people making $50,000 a year said they feel like they would be rich if they were making, guess what, $100,000 a year. Because if you think about it, I remember when I was making $12,000 a year. And I remember when I was making $12,000 a year thinking, man, if I made 24, whoo, wow. Man, I would be there. Like, that would be it. But you know, I made $24,000, and when I made $24,000, it didn't feel like, yeah, it's it, I've made it. In my mind, I'm like, yeah, it's okay, but you know, if I were... You see, rich is a moving target. It doesn't stand still. It moves with our quantity. It moves with our prosperity. It shifts about. It is not a single line. But in compared to the rest of the world, let me just say, tell you this, if in case you're wondering about this. Do you realize that if you make $37,000 a year, that you would be considered in the top 4% of the world, the top wealthiest 4% of the world, if you make $37,000 a year? And if you happen to make $45,000 a year, that makes you, it puts you in the top 1% of the wealthiest people in the world, comparatively speaking, because there's 6 billion people in the world. And do you realize that half of the working force in the world, half of the 6 billion people in the world, the people that are of the age that are able to work, do you realize that their average salary... That one in every two people in the world, they work 8 hours a day at labor, mixing mud, farming, and their paycheck at the end of 8 hours a day is $2. One in every two people in the world, their paycheck every day after 8 hours of work is $2. $2. We do not look at $2 like, we're like, $2. And those of you listening over CD, let me just say, I threw $2 up in the air. There was no mad rush to get those $2. No one was scrambling on the floor fighting. There's no fight going on here. No one's scrambling. $2. Why? Well, in part because we're rich. Comparatively speaking, we're rich. Hey, I've been to Africa, and I've been to China, and I've been to South America, and I can tell you, you're rich. When you read in the Bible and it talks about rich, if you were to say the 4 top percent of the world, the 1 top percent of the world, we fall in that category. By and large, if you live in America and have a job in this country, we are wealthy. And I want to tell you that because I believe that oftentimes most of us in most situations do not consider ourselves rich, but rich is a relative term, and I want you to reevaluate really what rich means. And next time you see the word rich in Scripture, don't just skip over it and think of the super, super wealthy in the world around you. Think, I am one of those people considered rich. Now, having said that, I want to teach you one of the principles that we as rich people need to understand. It's a huge principle. It's a powerful principle. It's the first of the 3 principles I want to teach you in this series entitled God Provides. Now, it's called the law of source. This law, unless you get it down, I don't think any of the other principles about finances and giving and money and possessions taught in Scripture will make sense. This principle, if you get it down, if you understand it, if you grasp it, if you internalize it, if you're able to live it out, this principle will be the principle that all the other principles build on. If you don't get this law down, most of the other laws will not make very much sense to you. And this is what the law of source says. The law of source is this: the ultimate source and owner of all that I possess is God. When I act like an owner, I will eventually plug the source and dishonor the real owner. Now, let me state the first part of the law of source again. The ultimate source and owner of all that I possess is God. Now, do you realize that the way that you are able to make wealth and make money has ultimately to do with God? The most powerful principle in understanding finances is not how much you make or what your paycheck is, but how you think about money and how you think about what you possess. See, what I understand is that 90% of you believe that if you had more money, your problems would be solved financially. 90% of us here say, well, Pastor, you know, you wouldn't have to talk to me about money if I had a 50% increase. If I were making double what I'm making right now, listen, my problems would be solved. It wouldn't be an issue to me. I would have it down. But I'm here to disagree with that. You see, I don't believe that that's true. I believe if your salary were to be doubled at the beginning of this year, I believe that if within 2 years you would have the same problems and the same issues that you have now with your finances, because it doesn't have to do with quantity. It has to do with the formula that you use to spend and manage your money. Oh, we've all seen it in people that won the lottery, haven't we? Suddenly a guy that's working at, you know, a lady that's working as a waitress at some restaurant, she wins the lottery. Now she has $10 million. She thinks her life is totally different. She'll never have problems. And then we read a couple years later that within 4 years, she's bankrupt, having to give up her house, all these problems. And we say, how could that happen? Listen, because the main issue with what you have is not how much you have. It's what you do with what you have. And the solution to all of our money issues starts not with what we don't have, but it always starts with what we already have and what we do with what we have.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. If you'd like to join a group of encouraged believers who are getting a weekly dose of inspiration from Mark, in addition to this daily radio program, sign up for our Bold Stepper Weekly. It comes to you free and automatically delivered to your inbox each Monday morning. Just sign up at boldstepsradio.org. Mark, I can't say enough good things about this. This is very encouraging. A great start, kind of a jump start to the week, isn't it?
It really is, and we try to give a little word of encouragement, Bible passage, ministry update. This morning, we actually mentioned evangelist Louis Palau and his passing away.
Loved him.
Back in March, he passed away after battling cancer for some time. Mm-hmm. But you know, I recalled when he passed away, my last interaction with him. I was speaking at a conference in Vancouver, and we were staying at the same hotel. Ran into him in the lobby, and we talked for about a half hour.
Yeah, you didn't have short conversations with Luis.
No, and you know what I remember? He seemed so interested in what I was doing and so passionate about learning and discovering, already in his 80s. And I remember walking away thinking, I want to be like that when I'm 80, passionate about the gospel, but engaged with people.
Well, thanks for honoring the memory of our dear brother now with the Lord, which is amazing, isn't it? But if you'd like to get this Bold Stepper Weekly for Mark, again, it comes automatically and it's free. Sign up at boldstepsradio.org. Get to stepping in your walk with Christ. boldstepsradio.org. Let's jump back into today's message. Mark has much more to say about the law of source.
You see, if you were making $14,000, $15,000 a year, and you were in debt, you think to yourself, if I make 30, I wouldn't be in debt. I'd be able to tithe. I'd be able to put some aside. But right now, I have nothing to save. I can't really make. But the truth is, however you divide the pie up now, you will divide it that very same way, but just with larger quantities in the future. So the question is, how can I change the way I manage what I currently have to prepare for the future that God has for me? Hello. The law of source. Where does the power to make money come from? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 through 18 gives us some real powerful insight into this. These people had been slaves, oppressed, poor. And now they had entered into a time of greater prosperity. They were building houses. They were expanding their property. They were doing better now financially. Yet a wrong mindset had set in with their prosperity, and God is challenging their mindset. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, you may say to yourself, this is self-talk. God is challenging their self-talk. How many of you talk to yourself here? Come on, be honest. Don't we all talk to ourselves once in a while? I mean, you may not like out loud say, hey, self, how you doing today? Well, some of you may, I don't know. But most of us don't talk that blatantly, but you talk to yourself, man, I'm feeling lousy today. Man, I need to do real good at this. Well, watch how you're driving. We talk to ourselves. That's okay. It's self-talk. So these people were talking to themselves, and God interrupts their self-talk because in their self-talk, what they were saying in their own mind to themselves, they were saying, hey, it's my power and the strength of my hands that have produced this wealth for me. Some of them were talking to themselves and they said, whoa, I've done pretty well. Man, because I've worked hard, not like that lazy bum in the cubicle next to me, but because I've hustled, I get there on time, I work hard, I do whatever it takes. I got that mentality. I got the talent. I got the drive. I got the aggressiveness. Man, I've worked hard. I've looked for opportunities. I've made the right moves. I haven't fluffed up. I've talked to the right people. And look, hey, I have done well. Look, I've prospered. My paycheck is going up. My bank account is getting a little fatter. Look what I have done. This is me. And God interrupts his self-talk and says, hold on, pause a little bit. Hey, can I interrupt your self-praising talk? And he says to them, but remember the Lord your God. Hey, did you forget that God had a part in this? Did you forget the aspect of the divine? Did you forget that somehow, somewhere, that God's hand has been involved in this entire process? And he says, for it is he, God, who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Oh, hold on. What? It is God that gives you the ability to produce wealth. In other words, that strength, that talent, that ability to bring good resources into your household and to generate an extra greater paycheck, it is God who gives you the ability to make wealth. He can take it and he can give it. He can minimize it and he can increase it. He can let it flow in great power, or he can diminish it and make it go in little power. You see, let me just say this, you know, never be cocky with God about what you've made or about the resources or how you've done, because in reality, if you're a singer, God can take your voice in a minute. Hello. If you lift at work, it's just one little and your back is out. Seriously. It's God that gives you the ability. He is the one that empowers and opens the door and gives the ability. And so he says, make sure you never forget, listen, that I am the source. It all starts somewhere, and we need to understand the law of source says this: God is the source. He is the ultimate source. Now, he may use your boss, and he may use a new job, and he may use an investment plan, and he may use a lot of different methods to bring about wealth into your life or increase your wealth, but ultimately, he is the source of it all. And we need to acknowledge that and understand that it changes the way we go about thinking about money and resources when we acknowledge who is the source. It tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19, moreover, when God gives any man wealth, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, how many of you know there's a difference between making it and enjoying it? To accept his lot and to be happy in his work. Listen, to the person that is making money and you're able to enjoy it, and you accept that this is where I've been placed, and you're happy at what you're doing, listen, this is a gift of God. This is a gift that God has given you. It comes from God on high. A gift can be given, a gift can be taken away, a gift can be dispensed. It's a gift of God. It's something that God grants to whom and when he desires to grant this gift. It's a gift that God gives. He is ultimately the source, the ultimate source of every good and perfect thing. James tells us every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. He is the source of all the resources, of all the good that come into our life. Not only is he the source, but he is also the owner. Proverbs 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalms 89 verse 11 says, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, the world and all that it contains. In other words, not only is he the ultimate source of all the resources that come our way, but listen, he is also the ultimate owner of everything that we have in our lives, of every good gift. He's the owner of all things. Now, hear me well. If he is the source and he is the owner, then hold on a second. What does that make us? There's a word in the Bible found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some of you are familiar with that word. It makes us what? Stewards. Hello, some of you have been reading your Bible. A steward is someone that manages someone else's wealth and possession.
Mark will continue the study tomorrow, so be sure to join us again next time. But don't go anywhere just yet, because he'll be back in just a moment to talk about a book he's recommending right now that will help you uncover any blind spots you may have as you seek to follow Jesus more authentically. And another way you can grow in your faith is to check out the many resources and tools we have available on our website. These resources and this daily program are made possible because of listeners like you who give to support this ministry. So if you'd like to give a one-time gift, or if you'd like to make a bigger impact this year and become a Bold partner, we'd love to hear from you. Call us at 844-615-7363 or give online when you go to boldstepsradio.org. And when you give a gift of any amount, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of David Platt's book, Follow Me. And here's Mark to tell you more about it.
Our society talks a lot about identity. And sometimes the claims people make about their own identity seems completely removed from who they are. So I want to ask you a couple questions. What did Jesus really mean when he said, follow me? Are you biblically and personally following Jesus right now? And not just going through the motions? Is it possible to attend church every week, read the Bible, pray for others, and still not know Jesus? These are the questions that David Platt addresses in his book, simply titled, Follow Me. Scores of men and women have been told that becoming a follower of Jesus simply involves saying a few words. But is that accurate? When we look at the gospel writers, we discover a group of people who found a path that was worthy to walk. And so, we're inviting you to discover what it takes to be a real disciple of Jesus today. Follow Me is our latest Bold Steps gift, and you can ask for your copy when you give a gift of any amount to support this ministry.
Once again, our phone number, 844-615-7363, or give your gift online and request the book when you go to boldstepsradio.org. And don't forget to connect with us on our social media platforms. We're on Facebook and Instagram, and you'll find us when you search for Bold Steps Radio. I'm Wayne Shepherd. So glad you joined us. Come back tomorrow when Mark continues his message on the Law of Source. It's coming up Tuesday, right here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.